Good morning, folks. The Lord be with you. I hope this morning finds you well, and it's lovely to see you. It's lovely to see the sun out, and we've come together to worship. Some of us have had great weeks, maybe the best week ever. Some of us have had terrible weeks, maybe the worst week ever. And whoever we are, we come together to worship God, knowing that wherever we come from, we can do it together. So let's begin our service with some notices, and then we'll open with prayer. Business as usual, all the organizations are back up. On Wednesday, we've got Ladies Friendship Group at 2 p.m. And there's going to be a collection from Marie Curie for those who are able, and you're all very welcome to go to that. It looks like it's going to be very good. Sunday next week, 9 a.m. Holy Communion, 11 a.m. Holy Communion, and then 7 p.m. we've got Compline. We did Compline maybe a couple of months ago, and we had a short Compline service with no music. And then we decided that it was so nice we would have it again, and the rector's put it in the calendar again. So if you're free next Sunday night, Compline is an absolutely lovely nighttime service, and you know you're all very, very welcome to that. Let's begin our service this morning with an opening prayer. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together in worship and praise. We ask that you would bless our time together today, and that each person would be open to hearing your word and would respond in loving obedience. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. Come, now is the time to worship.
With all our hearts, all mind and strength, we
Please take your seats. To paraphrase the writer of John, he said, if we say we've got no sin in us, if we say we've done nothing wrong, then we're fooling ourselves. And then he goes on to say, and we're making a liar of God, which is a bit, when you think about it, it's quite a lot. But we don't come in confession to beat ourselves up. We don't come to pour hot coals on our own head. We come in thankfulness that we can approach God in honesty, in all of our humanity. So let's pray together as we give ourselves in confession to God before one another. Let's pray. God of everlasting love, God of everlasting love, we confess that we have been unfaithful to our covenant with you and with one another. We have worshipped other gods, money, power, greed and convenience. We have served our own interest instead of serving only you and your people. We have not loved our neighbor as you have commanded, nor have we rightly loved ourselves. Forgive us, gracious God, and bring us back into the fullness of our covenant with you and one another. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The God who forgives us holds us tight. He holds us fast. And that's what we're going to celebrate as we stand and sing our next song. And during this song, children are invited to go to Sunday school. Let's stand and sing, He Will Hold Me Fast.
Bought by him at such a cost.
Please take your seats. For our Bible reading today, we're going to look at two passages from Mark, and they're both just a couple of verses away from each other, one from Mark 9 and one from Mark 10. And they're excellent examples of the disciples being thoroughly human. Numpties they are sometimes. And when you read these passages in the Bible, it makes me feel a wee bit better that we don't have to be perfect. And Jesus used these people in his work. So here's two readings from Mark 9. The first one is Mark 9, starting at verse 30. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But the disciples did not understand what he meant, and they were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, Jesus asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" They kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." And then a few verses later on in Mark 10, we're with them again, Jesus and the disciples. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left when you come in glory." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant. They became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must become your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord. As we approach the time when we can think about some of these ideas and unpack them, we're going to sing together 10,000 Reasons. Let's sit during this song as we worship and just let these ideas sink in. Stand together now and declare our faith and declare what we believe as one body. We believe in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with his power on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stay standing together for a moment. To be able to declare these truths is a gift to us from God. Let's thank him using the words of our next song. Thank you.
Jesus.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is no God like you. And we thank you that you allow us to look to you and to hear your voice. Amen. Please take your seats. Two boys saw their mum come home from work one Friday evening, and they could see a few extra notes sticking out from her purse, and they knew that maybe this week had been a good week. Their mum was a waitress, and she relied an awful lot on tips, and not every week was the same as every other week, but this week had clearly been a good one. The boys had a chat together, and they decided it would be quite good if some of those notes could be in their pockets. They could do a few things with those notes. Later that evening, one of the brothers went to his mum and said, "Mum, you're looking really good tonight. Can I have a £5 note?" And mum said, "Well, so you think you can charm me out of my hard-earned cash?" She said, "Well, it's been a long week. We've all done well. It's good to share." So she reached into her purse and gave out a £5 note, and then she stopped because two things happened at once. First thing, she realized her purse was slightly lighter than it had been when she first got home. Second thing, she saw her other boy walk past the living room and try and sneak up the stairs with a can of Coke in one pocket and a Haribo bag in the other pocket. One boy had asked and one boy had taken. One boy had enjoyed the treats that he bought with his money, and the other wished he'd never been born. One boy had money to spend with legitimacy and a smile. The other had money to spend, but looking over his shoulder, worrying that he knew things were not quite right. He was spending what didn't belong to him. One of the things that the disciples found very confusing as they followed Jesus from street to street and town to town was how his power worked. They never really understood where Jesus got the authority to do and say all the things he did and said. They were so used to Caesar, Herod, temple authorities, soldiers, guards who exercised authority by demanding and taking. So they didn't know how to process this Jesus, who seemed to have a huge amount of authority and legitimacy. And it was like he was spending a currency that nobody else had. The crowds around Jesus were amazed at his actions as well. They knew that the temple teachers had authority to do and say what they did because they were given the robes and they were given the headgear. They had all the right stuff. But Jesus seemed to have an authority of a completely different type. Jesus tried to explain to the disciples and others that all authority had been given to him by God. But they never really caught on. I think they maybe had head knowledge, but they never really caught on. And they even started to argue and fight amongst themselves, as we read earlier on, about which of the 12 was the greatest. Which one of us has the most authority? They were arguing. James and John even tried to have a wee sneaky get in there first power grab. And Jesus had to pull them all back and get them back to the fact that real power, real authority, real legitimacy to speak and act is given by God. And what's more, and this was the frustrating and annoying thing, I think, for the disciples. Whenever Jesus spoke about his authority, he would often tie it into ideas about suffering and death and service. How tiring that must have been. But that's what he seems to have done. He made no sense. He had it all upside down. We've been speaking about the kingdom of God in Connect over the past few months, and the kingdom of God is the idea of it is such a huge treasury of ideas and thoughts and truths. And Jesus never really tied down and listed what the kingdom of God actually meant. He put it out in stories and pictures and ideas for us to just slowly walk through and slowly start to understand in our hearts, sometimes more than our minds. But one of the things that comes through in the kingdom of God that Jesus puts forward is that there's no ladder to climb. There's no ladder of authority to get to the top of. Here's an old joke that I have always thought is funnier than anyone else has thought. So you might not find it funny, but here it goes. There was a man jumping out of a plane with a parachute, and this was his first solo jump. And as he was descending quickly, he thought, right, now's the time. And he pulled the cord and nothing happened. Okay, don't panic, he said. And he knew that there was an emergency cord somewhere and he pulled that. Nothing happened. So he started to panic. He started pulling things again and again and again. And then he noticed that there was a small speck that seemed to be getting bigger. And he realized that it was someone coming up in the sky, almost flying up to meet him. And as they passed each other, him going down and the other man going up, the parachutist shouted out, "Do you know anything about parachutes?" And the man said, "No." "Do you know anything about gas cookers?" Don't groan. I love that joke. We use the idea of up and down, up and down. Up is good. Down is bad. That's just the way that we are fixed in our minds. We think of heaven as up and earth or hell as down. It's not. That's language we're given in the Bible. But we're given the up and down language to help us understand it. So we use up and down all the time. In language of achievement, we think of climbing the corporate ladder. When you buy your first house, you think of getting on the first rung of the property ladder. Even in school, when children are learning literacy and numeracy, we use language of top, middle, or otherwise. We call the groups bananas or shortcakes or Superman. We give the groups names, but the children know what's going on. We think in terms of ranking. Cream rises to the top. Success is an upward trajectory, easier to say than do. Enemies are crushed down under our feet. The poor are downtrodden, up and down. In the kingdom of God, though, there is no ladder to climb, no rungs to grasp or to fight over. There is service, and there's freedom to act and live and talk with legitimacy and a smile, freedom given us by God. In the kingdom of God, the ones with authority are the ones who have been given it by God. In the church, in the political arena, even in the home, the ones with authority are the ones who have been given it by God. In the church, we make the mistake of saying that the person with the collar has the authority. This collar, listen, it's plastic. We make the mistake of saying the person with the collar has the authority. Any position or permission I have to speak to you this morning has been given by the Church of Ireland, but if I'm ever to be given true authority, it will only come in time, only through service, and only through following Christ. Political leaders may have made it to the top, but they know that their position is vulnerable and fragile. In a democracy, that's for a good reason. But true authority comes in Jesus' name by serving in his name. In the home, the one who shouts or instills fear, and I say this as a parent, and I say this as the parent who has opened their mouth too loudly, too often. But the people who instill fear, the one who exercises power by taking what's not theirs from their spouse or their children, holds a parody of authority. There's a wee suggestion as to how to examine the nature of someone's authority. If disagreeing with someone fills you with fear, if to question the source of their authority gives you a bad feeling in your stomach, then ask questions and think, hang on a minute, I need to have a wee think. Where does your authority come from? What kind of leader are you? God is clearly the holder of all true authority, and you'd think that to disagree with God himself would be catastrophic. However, Moses, Mary, the woman at the well, a woman from a place called, she was a Gentile woman. Women a lot in the Bible are examples of people who have debated and questioned Jesus and God. God the Father, God the Son, nose to nose, eye to eye, and you think, oh my goodness, don't do that. It's God. But in turn, they have been shown great respect by God, great respect by Jesus, his Son. God's true authority listens and actually adapts to the needs and voice of his children. Human authority that doesn't do that is to be questioned. God doesn't change his mind completely. He always has his own mission in mind. But there are even translations of the Old Testament conversations between God and Moses where it says, God repents. Isn't that strange? God says, I am going to take those Israelites and I'm going to da-da-da. And Moses says, please don't. What will the Egyptians think of you? God repents. What a strange conversation to have with someone who holds all the authority. Philippians tells us that Jesus is God and always has been. However, instead of dominating with his power, he gave it up to be human. So you've got Jesus in heaven with all authority giving up to be human. And he resisted even human power to be a condemned human. And then not just any old condemned human, but the position of a criminal who is put up on a cross naked in absolute humiliation in a tawdry execution while his killers mock him and gamble over his clothes. And this is the strange thing. In that moment, he was given his authority. How bizarre. In John's Gospel, when they're in the Last Supper and Jesus has been teaching them, the moment that Judas gets up and leaves the room to betray him, Jesus then says, and now I've been glorified. It's so bizarre. But that is the way his authority works. In that downward descent that Jesus made from heaven to earth to tawdry execution, he did many things. And I'm going to suggest that here's three of the things that he did. First of all, he showed leaders everywhere that true authority is given when you give up the power struggle. Two, through Jesus' death and resurrection, he disarmed the authority of death. And therefore, anyone who rules using fear and hurt, especially those who hurt those that they should be serving, will be equally disarmed in time. And three, those who have been hurt, degraded, thrown to the bottom of the heap, treated in a way they should not be treated, they can lift their eyes because in that descent, Jesus is coming for you. Jesus is coming to get you. That is what he is doing. The people who are hurt and at rock bottom, that is who Jesus is coming for. So what do we do as inhabitants of this upside down kingdom? Well, I'm doing another 3 points. I don't usually do threes. The first thing I'm going to suggest is we stop trying to rub shoulders with the good and the great. And we go looking for where Jesus is mixing with those in true need. Two, we challenge those who grab power through fear in the home, the church, and in the political sphere. We do so carefully and with thought and prayer, but we do it. And three, we sit with the frightened and the fearful while Jesus meets them in his spirit, and as Jesus grants us the authority to remove their chains. Jesus had that immense descent from heaven to earth, but not just any old earth, the degraded human existence, and then death. And in that coming down, he came to lift us up. Let's let some of those ideas whirl around our mind for a moment, in a moment's quiet, and then we'll have a short prayer, and then we'll sing together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you that all authority is sourced in you and is good. And help us to be aware of the way we exercise any authority in the home, in church, or in the outside world. And would you have us exercise our authority in your name? We ask these things in your dear name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together our offertory hymn, Jesus Strong and Kind.
Jesus said, if I am lost, he
Please take your seats. And let's have a time of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we pray for the authorities in the church. May they bear your image, serve in your name, and put your ways above their own ideas of power and authority. May they be given the grace to live as they ought and justice as well as forgiveness when they fail. In a moment of quiet, Heavenly Father, we bring Bishop David and others in the church to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for the authorities in the world and in world governments. May they bear your image, serve in your name, and put your ways above their own ideas of power and authority. May they be given the grace to live as they ought, and justice as well as forgiveness when they fail. Heavenly Father, in a moment of quiet, we bring the leaders of Israel, Palestine, Russia, Ukraine, Libya, Somalia, and other world leaders to you in prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for the authorities in our own assembly and government. May they bear your image, serve in your name, and put your ways above their own ideas of power and authority. May they be given the grace to live as they ought, and justice as well as forgiveness when they fail. And in a moment of quiet, we bring our national leaders to God in prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who live at the bottom of the heap, those who have fallen there, been thrown there, and those who were born there. We pray for the courage to go where they are, serve them, and proclaim your eternal gospel of salvation and freedom to them. We pray for those who have made the decision to speak up and seek what is right. Heavenly Father, who knows all truth, may your will be done. And Heavenly Father, in a moment of quiet, we bring to you those on our hearts and minds who need your closeness and wholeness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Heavenly Father, we pray for those who mourn. The lowest moment of death is where you are seen at last, Heavenly Father. Be with those who are rightly sad, but help them not to live and love as if there's no hope. Heavenly Father, hear us now as we gather all of our prayers together using those words that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's stand and sing together of that Jesus who does come down and rescue us. Let's stand and sing together, Rescuer.
He's our rescuer.
Hey!
He's our rescuer.
Hey!
We are free from sin forever. Oh, how sweet the sound.
Hey!
Oh, how grace abounds.
Hey!
We will praise the Lord our rescuer. There is good news for the captive. Good news for the shame.
We prepare to go out as God's people. It's worth reminding that it's good to pray about things, it's good to bring things to God, and we must. But if there's folks here or folks online who are worried about their treatment and worried about how they live in the hands of an authority, it's okay to speak about it. And there are people in the church who are a safe pair of ears, if you like. And it's good to talk about things. And please know that without judgment, everyone is welcome. Let's close our service as we say together, we go out into the world.
We go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. Be with us, Lord, as we go out into the world. May the lips that have sung your praise always speak the truth. May the ears which have heard your word listen only to what is good. and may our lives as well as our worship be always pleasing in your sight. For the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. The God of hope, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who is one, may he give us the authority to love and serve in his name. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you all, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn is Rejoice.
Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you, arise, a mighty army, we are alive. Now is the time for us to march upon this land into our hands. He will give the ground we rise in majesty to lead us into victory. The world shall see that Christ is all. Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you.
Peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.